Welcome to How to Save Your Marriage with Nicola Beer, a full show of tips and practical strategies to repair, rebuild, and strengthen your relationship. If you are currently stuck, wondering if your marriage can be saved, or you know you want to save it but don't know how to go about changing it, this show is for you. To book your free marriage strategy session with Nicola, get the free marriage ebook or donate. If you are enjoying the show and want to help keep it flowing, visit www.nicolabeer.com.
Hi and welcome. I'm so happy you're here. Today I'm going to be talking about how to get your partner to take the initiative, to lead, to plan and be motivated, or to accept them and love them as they are, being laid back and enjoying to let life happen rather than trying to drive life. This can be a massive difference between couples. Let me start by sharing the story of Lisa and Ahmed. Lisa had been married to Ahmed for 4 years. The past 2 years, they had been fighting non-stop. Ahmed was tired of driving the relationship, and Lisa's lateness would drive him absolutely crazy. And when he came to me, he was really fed up. He complained that Lisa would wait on him to decide what they would be doing on the weekends, waiting on him to lead the social life and sex life. He was sick of it. Lisa said she'd like to please Ahmed, and she was happy to do whatever he wanted. So she would wait for him to make the plans. She was also happy to have days in her PJs, watching Netflix, relaxing, with no plans or pressure. So if there was no plans for the weekend, she was happy. She liked being spontaneous and not having to have a schedule or a time to wake up by. Ahmed grew up in a household where you got up, you showered, and you dressed early every single day. Holidays, weekends were no exception. His family were active, super productive, and this is the way that he liked to live. Her lack of discipline when it came to healthy eating, drinking alcohol, and exercising also annoyed him. Resentment was building, and as a result, harsh words and comments were thrown around like they were nothing. In the joint session, Ahmed agreed to leave Lisa's weight and exercise to her. He would not pressure her or try to control her because his approach was definitely not working in changing her behaviour, and it was also damaging their connection. Lisa agreed to make sure that she took more decisions and took the lead more in their social life and also to plan surprises for Ahmed. She also agreed to wake up early one day on the weekend and have a lie-in the other day, getting that happy balance that she needed. Both agreed to make more effort in their sex life to make it more engaging and fun. And I gave them some books and some audios to listen to really increase that area of their life. Working with Lisa and Ahmed separately and then together, I was helping them to bridge the gap between the communication issues that they were having and to reconnect with why they fell in love in the first place, what brought them together, why their relationship is worth working on, and how to enjoy each other's company more and let go of certain expectations, appreciating their differences. So I wanted to create this episode today because not a week goes by where I don't meet someone who shares with me how tired they are of always taking the lead in the relationship. They're always the one that is suggesting activities, new ideas, weekends away. They drive the holidays ideas, the bookings. They're the one to come up with the ideas for the children's birthday parties and holidays as well, what the children are going to do in the time off. And they feel like their partner waits for them to lead everything. And they're fed up of it being one-sided all the time. When I take couples through my marriage transformation program, we look at changing this and making it more balanced. It's draining when someone is so laid back that they're not driven to take any initiative for some people. The one motivated feels that if it left everything up to their partner, nothing would happen. They would just sit around all summer, all weekend, and things wouldn't get done. Or there'd be less enjoyment in life because they wouldn't really be doing anything. Life would be boring. It can sometimes feel to the person who's leading everything like they have an extra child, not a partner in the relationship. And what they're longing for is they're longing for that partnership. They're longing for an equal. They're longing for someone to say, I'll do this and I'll do that and you relax and I've taken care of this. Some couples that don't have children and find themselves in the same pattern also put off children because they're worried that they already feel like their partner is a child. And they're scared to have children with them because they're scared that are they going to be the one to lead the relationship, lead the activities, lead the duties when having children. It's been said in many sessions that I've had by women that they have a man child. And sometimes, of course, it's the other way around where men feel like their girlfriend is a child like also. And sometimes this can cause conflict in the relationship because sometimes someone is scared to make that commitment to their partner if they feel that the relationship is driven all by them. They may not want to get married yet. They may not want to have children yet because they're scared. And it's important to have compassion there because these fears need to be addressed and actions need to be taken to find that middle ground. Many couples, when it comes to leading and direction, can argue, as with the example of Lisa and Ahmed, over exercising, over healthy eating, over discipline in these areas. Some people feel like they're very attracted to someone who gets up and says what they're going to do. Other people, they feel irritated when their husband or wife, girlfriend or boyfriend says they're going to follow through on this massive healthy lifestyle and then they quit. But then the other person can feel like, why is my partner unhappy just because I haven't exercised today? I don't need to deal with their attitude. If I don't want to exercise, then I won't. Why do I have to answer to them? Why are they trying to control me? And it can be a real contentious issue between couples, especially if you are showing resentment towards one another, if you are trying to influence one another, punish one another to try and teach them a lesson, to make them more motivated, it can just cause toxicity in the relationship because no one wants to be in a relationship where they're being controlled. No one wants to be in a relationship where they're the only person bringing the energy and effort into the relationship. And sometimes, unfortunately, it can lead to the couple attacking each other, saying to each other, you're lazy, you're controlling, you're boring, you're a sheep, you're suffocating me, you don't have any drive, what's wrong with you, why are you trying to control me? You know, it can go both ways, couples criticizing each other. And this is really bad for a relationship because just as damaging as self-criticism is for an individual, can affect your self-esteem and therefore your results in all areas of life. Being criticized by your partner can kill passion, closeness, happiness. As the person on either receiving end of the criticism can feel unappreciated, unloved, disrespected. And then let's talk about the person who is a little bit laid back. The person who is laid back with life gets confused often. They feel, okay, you knew I'm laid back. You said you loved me being laid back. You said you love that I don't care and I'm easygoing. I'm happy to go with the flow. You really enjoyed this about me. And now you're angry at me. Now you're wanting to change me. Now I feel like you're parenting me. So it can be difficult to navigate this in a relationship. One person wants to have a shipmate to drive the relationship in life, to explore and go as far as they can. And they can sometimes feel like their partner is the anchor holding them back in their dreams and values. And yet they love them and they're attracted to this laid back attitude. So how to handle this? Well, firstly, I think it is very important to acknowledge that often couples where they get together and one person is relaxed, laid back, easygoing, doesn't have a set schedule, likes to go with the flow, that really suits somebody who is more controlled, rigid, disciplined, because they look at that person and they think, wow, how great to be so carefree. and how great that I can decide everything in the relationship and they're just going to be happy with it. And the laid back person looks at the person that's driven and has ideas and goals and plans and it's just like, brilliant. I can carry on being laid back. They're going to drive me. They're going to organise things. All I need to do is show up. I'm happy to have someone lead me. Great. And it goes really, really well at the beginning. They have great times and it fits and it suits. But then often after a while, the person can get a bit worn out leading all the time. Or the laid back person gets a bit tired of going along with all the plans that the other person wants all the time. So they start to say, actually, I don't want to do anything this weekend. I just want to be in my pajamas and watch TV. Or if I don't want to go to the gym for a few weeks, it doesn't bother me. I'm happy with that. And the other person can get irritated and want to control that. And then if it's not addressed, it can affect the conversations. One person can feel like I'm driving the conversation. I'm making things interesting. We have nothing to talk about. And probably there's nothing to talk about because there's that resentment there, which has led the couple to not want to communicate properly because they feel judged, attacked, irritated. So they stop communicating, they start avoiding. And then this is when often couples will come to me to fix things. So in the way that I help couples, I have a 4-step process. And if you want to know more about that 4-step process, then check out my free relationship masterclass. It's a 43-minute video. The link will be along with this podcast so you can just learn more about it. I'll talk you really briefly through the first 3 steps. And then I'm going to spend a bit more time on the last step in this episode because that's what will really help a couple if you're struggling over these differences. The first step is to rebuild connection. I help couples to identify what they need in a relationship to be happy, to feel loved, to feel close and connected. I go for a list of 25 different actions and ask them to pick their top 7 or 8 and then start creating an action plan together. For the happiness to happen, there needs to be actions. Talking about relationships, talking about problems is just going to leave you probably more stuck or just creating more negativity, which leads to the second step, clearing the negative thinking, negative story that you've got in your head about them, about the relationship, clearing resentment from the past. This is essential. If you're carrying resentment, it's just going to keep on exploding or leading to withdrawing or distancing. There's no point in having a really great date night and then the next day being angry because something small has happened. That it's triggered off a memory of all the other things that have happened, and then you can't enjoy the moment. And then I take couples through my 25 communication principles, how to have discussions where you're not agreeing. We can all communicate with our friends, with our family, with our work colleagues, probably quite well. But how do you communicate with someone that's hurting you? How do you communicate when you're disappointed, frustrated, in a way where it's going to have a positive outcome? I'll go over that. And then the last step, which is what we're going to focus on a bit more today. And this is about aligning your goals and your dreams and your values. It's so important to make sure that you have a vision for where you want your relationship to go. The dreams that you have for your life together. For example, the places you want to visit, what you want to experience, where you want to live. What are your family values? What are your individual values? What makes you happy? What will be a life well lived for you? And then there's finding shared interests to talk about, to engage in. Sometimes with couples, we sit there and we decide on topics, okay? What topics can you get more conversations going on? Some couples, they decide to start a little online business together, or they do online courses and learn things. And I also give them 100 different activities to do. And I ask them to pick activities that they would enjoy. And then we look at the sheet together and say, right, you both will enjoy this one. So let's try this one. It's important not to do activities where one person loves it. The other person is like, I don't want to do this. I'd rather go to the dentist than do the activity that you suggested. And so that it can be very helpful. And then there has to be a discussion on expectations and roles. What are your expectations? For your life, for your partner, And this is where you can say, no, I can't do that. That's not me. Please accept me for me. Or yeah, I'm happy to do that. If that makes you happy, that's easy. That's the kind of discussions. Because the biggest reasons for divorce is where couples have unmet expectations. And sometimes these expectations are not even communicated. And if they're not even communicated, how can you have the chance to make the relationship great? It just will get bad because you haven't even understood what each of you need and want. And then there needs to be talks about children. If you have children or you're planning to have children, whose responsibility is it for their moral, social, and educational upbringing? What do you want for your children? What do you want to teach them, give them? This can be very important. And then there's the day-to-day organizing. Often I get couples to agree to take it in turns. You do date night this week, the other one does date night the next week. You plan one holiday, the other person plans a holiday. Same with finances. Sometimes finances can be an area where couples fall out in this, where some person feels like, okay, I am responsible for the finances. I pay the bills. I track the finances. I organize. I plan. And they just want a partner in this area. So we look at, are the finances, the way they're being managed, are they making you happy or unhappy in the relationship? And this is where we often do monthly or quarterly reviews, so the couple feel more aligned. And this really can enhance the relationship, having that shared vision, that shared financial planning, goals, dreams. And then there is the intimacy. Sometimes where a person is very driven, very sexual, they can feel annoyed when their partner has left the sex life down to them, where they instigate all the time, where they lead, where they suggest new positions, new places, new ideas, and get little feedback. So we have these important discussions, how to reignite the passion. I've got a few books I recommend. I give suggestions based on what other couples have done. The couple then tune into, does it feel good to them? Often sex can be really difficult to talk about, which is crazy, really. It's like a natural thing that every relationship has, every person has in their life. And yet, for some reasons, for many reasons, normally cultural and based on our upbringing, it can be difficult to talk about that. So helping couples to talk about that and make sure that there's chemistry there, that it's not all up for one person to do everything. So I just really want to end here in this episode that if you're struggling and feeling like you're the one taking the lead, don't let it carry on like this if resentment is building. Because your resentment, maybe you're trying to punish your partner to try and get them to change. Maybe you're calling them names like they're lazy. Maybe you're getting irritated. This is going to come out in the relationship and it's going to damage it. And if you're on the receiving end of this, if you can feel like your partner is getting annoyed with you being how you are, your laid back nature, again, you need to ask them, okay, let's sit down. Let's work out what is triggering you. Agree, okay, I'm happy to change this. I'm happy to agree on this. I can't do that. This is who I am. Just really looking at what you can do together to find some alignment. And reminding yourself that this is probably why you were so attracted to each other in the first place. That laid back versus driven nature can add a lot of chemistry. So how to manage that and make the best of it. From my heart to yours, thank you so much for listening. Do join my relationship Facebook group if you would like further support and to engage and connect with other people around the world, also wanting to make their relationship area of their life the best that it can be. I'm in there every day and love to see you and get to know you more. And also check out the video that I've created as well. Take care. Bye.
Thank you for listening to How to Save Your Marriage with Nicola Beer. To book your free marriage strategy session today, you can visit www.nicolabeer.com, where you can also get the free marriage fixing ebook, request a topic for the show, and make a donation if the show has been of benefit to you and you want to help keep it going. We wish you an amazing love-filled day ahead.